Welcome to Friends and Neighbors on Calvary Radio. Friends and Neighbors is a radio program dedicated to looking at community outreach programs as well as important issues throughout the listening area. And now with today's guest, here's Tanya Mandich.
Welcome to Friends and Neighbors, your connection to the community. Wearable phones and computers are on loads of shopping lists as the holiday season approaches, but scientists are warning that research indicates they present likely health risks, especially from cell phone radiation. Researcher David Gulkin shows cell phone radiation creates hot spots in human brains, a troublesome finding. Dr. Hugh Taylor of Yale University exposed pregnant mice to close-up cell phone signals and observed the offspring behaving like children with attention deficit disorder.
I think all these radiation-emitting technologies deserve a proper evaluation that includes not only exposure to adults, but what happens to the fetus, the most vulnerable stage of life.
Many scientists question the accuracy of industry-funded research. They say money for government and foundation-funded research is scarce. And they say when they report on the evidence of risk, the mainstream media, like those lab mice, have a short attention span. Dr. Martin Blank of Columbia University, a DNA expert, says research like that which found the DNA of mice altered by cell phone exposure is more than enough to prompt action.
When you get a situation where a problem arises, you invoke what's known as the precautionary principle. You take a certain amount of precaution as a result of a risk that has been identified.
Dr. David Gulkin did the study that showed parts of the brain heated by cell phone radiation. He says wearable gadgets are brought to the marketplace with little concern for safety.
When they're designing and developing a new product, and introducing it, very rarely the health aspects of it is mentioned or not mentioned at all.
Advocates recommend keeping cell phones and other devices away from sensitive body parts, and especially caution pregnant women against holding cell phones near their abdomens or in handbags carried near their bodies. Dr. Joel Moskowitz of UC Berkeley says just as the health threats from cigarettes were eventually exposed by those inside the tobacco industry, he hopes the same will happen with the risks of electromagnetic fields.
I've been waiting for a whistleblower for the last 5 years since I've been involved in this issue, but haven't had any forthcoming, unfortunately. But if you know of any whistleblowers, they want to send me documents, I can assure that they will be protected.
To further discuss this issue, we've invited Dr. Moskowitz to join us for an informative discussion on some of the particulars with regard to his extensive research on cell phone radiation as a director at the Center of Family and Community Health for the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Moskowitz.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Moskowitz, please give us a snapshot of your involvements and how you became an advocate for cell phone research and awareness.
It began in late 2008. We had a visiting scholar affiliated with our center, Dr. Sung Kwon Myung, who came from the National Cancer Center of South Korea. He specialized in doing research reviews of the health literature. He's an epidemiologist physician. And in the course of the year, we completed several research reviews as well as some original research on other subjects. But one of the research reviews he and his team of colleagues from South Korea chose to do was to look at the association between mobile phone use and tumor risk. And we worked very closely with him on that study and helped him publish that study, which came out shortly after he'd gone back to Korea. And initially, I was quite a skeptic that there was any issue here worth studying because I had never read anything indicating that mobile phone or cell phone or cordless phone radiation was biologically active or had any potential tumor risk associated with it. And I've read the health literature quite widely over the past several decades because I head a prevention research center funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So it came as quite a surprise to me. Plus, based on the physics, I did not believe that it was possible even. So I was quite a skeptic, if not a denialist, going into this. And then when I began to read the studies and see what we were finding, it became clear to me that there is indeed a problem, particularly if one focuses on the higher quality studies with regard to brain tumors specifically, where most of the research is focused because people tend to hold the cell phone right next to their head, which is quite proximal to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was in the 10 higher quality studies, a significant harmful association between cell phone use and brain tumor risk, and especially for people who had been using cell phones for 10 or more years, and especially on the side of the head where people held the cell phone most of the time.
Hmm, yeah.
In the lower quality studies, however, we found just the opposite finding. They appeared to be a reduced tumor risk in those studies. And interestingly, the higher quality studies had no funding from the cellular industry, whereas the low quality studies had at least partial industry funding.
Hmm.
So it sort of suggested to us that there might be a connection between the funding source, the quality of the research, and the outcome of the research.
Yeah.
Looking at the biologic studies, the laboratory studies, because we were looking at the human epidemiologic studies, studies of humans over time, when you look at the laboratory studies, you find a similar sort of thing, that the bulk of the studies that were industry-funded tended not to find an effect or found a positive effect, and the bulk of the studies that were non-industry-funded, essentially government or foundation-funded, tended to find biologic effects from short-term exposures to cell phone or cordless phone radiation.
Very interesting. When I first began to research this topic, I thought at first glance that we were just talking about iPhones here, but really, you're talking about a broad spectrum of these electromagnetic devices giving off a significant amount of radiation, enough to actually cause harm to us and our families.
That's absolutely right. So we're talking about cell phones of all types and varieties. We're talking about the cordless phones that you might have in your home or office because it's a very similar pulse digital system. And you have a base station which is constantly emitting cordless phone microwave radiation to reach the satellite phones. Interestingly, in Europe, there's a cordless phone system that doesn't do that, but it's not available in the U.S., so it's not constantly pulsing and emitting the microwave radiation in your home.
Different standards,
not available
perhaps.
Here.
Yeah.
Also, one finds among cell phones huge differences in the amount of radiation they emit, but it's not clear that we're measuring the proper parameters in terms of the radiation to make sound decisions.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think the average consumer is really carefully reading over the warnings and precautions with regard to their device. I know I didn't, and I don't think the average person does either, perhaps because it's so difficult to understand as well.
Yeah, well, to begin with, it's often hard to find the warnings. My wife, when she bought a cell phone, there was some very obtuse warning that came with the phone. It was in a very small booklet. Didn't make any sense to either of us, even though we had been studying this issue for several years. And then when we inquired about it, they said, oh, well, the full warning is in the manual. And they said, well, you didn't give us a manual. Well, you have to download the manual. And it was like on page 130-something with the full warning, but it was still no clearer about what they were trying to say. It sounded very much like doublespeak. And interestingly, the warnings typically, and almost every cell phone has a warning somewhere in a manual, typically says you should always keep the phone either 5/8 of an inch or an inch away from your body. And you should always use it in an authorized or approved holder. You should not keep it on your body. And yet hardly anyone pays any attention to these warnings.
Right.
One phone, one of the BlackBerry models, actually goes so far and says that teenagers should not keep the phone near their lower abdomen, which is the code word for their reproductive organs.
Right.
And pregnant women should not keep the phone near their abdomen. Essentially, you don't want to expose the fetus. To cell phone radiation. And we now have some research both in animals as well as in humans suggesting that cell phone radiation is indeed harmful to the fetus and creates reproductive health problems in terms of neurological disorders that resemble basically attention deficit hyperactivity disorder may be contributed to prenatal exposures or early exposures in childhood to cell phone radiation.
Yeah.
There's also some interesting papers that have just been published by Dr. Martha Herbert of Harvard University laying out the case for why cell phone radiation and cordless phone radiation may be contributing to autism. So this is an area that obviously needs further research, but it's very frustrating because we're not doing research on this issue in the U.S.
Right. Well, that's a good point. Well, who is the primary research engine for the industry?
Well, right now, the primary research engine for the industry is the industry, because governments have pretty much avoided taking responsibility. In the past, there has been some work done that was partially sponsored by the World Health Organization, but it was also partially industry-funded, called the Interphone Study, a 13-nation study, and that produced some very interesting, although conflicted findings, but there was indeed evidence among the heavier cell phone users of increased brain tumor risk in that study. And when they further looked at the location of the tumors, some of the researchers found a direct correlation between the location of the tumor and the maximum cell phone radiation. Another group of researchers using a different subset of the data did not find that. The most compelling research comes from a group in Sweden, led by Dr. Hardell, who's done a number of studies. Some of the earlier studies, one of the problems is that people weren't using cell phones very much. And in his most recent study, where he's got much longer-term follow-up data, because it does take decades often to see brain tumors develop, he shows a threefold increase in the most common type of brain tumor among people who've used cell phones for 25 or more years. You could be tripling your risk. And among people who started using as children, the risks were much higher, although the numbers of people in the study were not very large because 25 years ago, there were very few children using anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And that's changed rather quickly in the last decade, particularly with regard to Eastern countries. It seems as if in our previous conversation prior to the interview, you alluded to the fact that just about everyone has at least one cell phone. What are we finding? Are we getting any research out of the Middle East?
Yeah, countries like Turkey, and in fact, we have some researchers from Turkey who are coming today or tomorrow because we're going to be putting on a forum in San Francisco at the Commonwealth Club, which they're going to present, and we're also going to do a videotape forum that will appear on the internet. So countries like Turkey, Italy, Saudi Arabia, there's been a fair amount of laboratory research going on. And in Europe, there's some very large studies with people, but these are now 20, 30-year studies that are industry-funded and probably not going to show much of anything because everyone is going to be exposed to either a cell phone or cordless or other forms of radiation that are similar, such as Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's another topic that I want to dig into a little bit here, too. But before we leave this subject of regulatory standards and things of that nature, I thought it was noteworthy with regard to the federal government and its relationship to the FCC, cell phone-related research. Something seems a little peculiar there. Do you want to perhaps explain to the listening audience about how that is a sort of bias coming out of the research?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, beginning back in the early 90s, the Federal Communications Commission was determined to be the regulatory agency for cell phone radiation. And some industry bodies began to meet and set standards to regulate the amount of radiation that could come from a cell phone or a cell tower. And these industry people were largely physicists and engineers. Very few medical scientists were involved in this process. The defense industry was heavily involved at that time because they had a vested interest in protecting radar, since radar is another form of microwave radiation that's been around a lot longer. The Environmental Protection Agency was actually doing research at that time, and when it began to show harmful effects in these laboratory studies from very low-intensity radiation, the military and the defense industry representatives basically lobbied the Congress to cut off the funding to the EPA. And so the EPA has not done any research on microwave radiation since the mid-90s.
Right.
The industry largely set the standards that the government adopted, which became formalized in 1996 with the Telecommunications Act. And the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, was the regulatory agency. But the FCC didn't have any health expertise, so five other federal health agencies were designated to assist the FCC in regulating this new form of radiation, which was going to permeate our offices and homes and parks and schools. A recent example of how the FCC has been captured by the industry is the appointment to the FCC to be the chair of the FCC by the president and confirmed by the Senate, a fellow who was formerly the chief lobbyist for the cell phone industry when he headed the CTIA, the Wireless Association. And while he was the president of this organization, the CTIA was funding research in the U.S. on cell phone radiation, and he played a pretty nefarious role in subverting and suppressing the research and then failing to continue it when it began to show evidence of harm to people. And no sooner is he appointed to head the FCC, within 2 weeks, he announces to the press that he's going to try to get the FCC to change the rules to allow cell phone use on airplanes. Really a terrible idea, because the airplane acts sort of like a cage and traps the cell phone radiation and reflects it and exposes everyone to higher amounts of microwave radiation.
Oh, my. Not too encouraging news. Wow.
No, not at all. That's why people really have to get irate and talk to their policymakers, particularly federal policymakers, members of Congress, and ask them to do something about the situation, to strengthen the cell phone radiation regulations, to fund research, to issue precautionary health warnings to the public, because the public, by and large, is in the dark about how they can protect themselves, and also to require the government to enforce the regulations that it actually has. A nonprofit group did some assessments of cell towers around the country earlier this year and found that many of the cell towers were not in compliance with the law. But there's no one policing the cell towers.
Yeah.
And increasingly I hear people saying, what should I do? They're putting up a cell tower in front of my house and my young children are being exposed on a 24/7 basis. And when I'm not hearing from them, I'm hearing from people who are saying the smart meters in their house are affecting their health and they can't opt out. And now Wi-Fi is being put in every school in the country as part of a White House initiative.
Yeah.
So kids are going to be exposed for 6 or so hours a day to industrial strength Wi-Fi in the classroom. And they could be laptops also producing microwave radiation right around your child.
Right.
So this proliferation of microwave radiation is just really getting out of hand. In addition, industry keeps coming up with new devices, toys for kids that include Wi-Fi. And I just saw a press release called Ho Ho No, Why iPads Are Not Kids' Toys.
Right.
Warning parents not only about the screen time issue, which the American Academy of Pediatrics is concerned about, they're also concerned about the exposure to microwave radiation and the fact that our regulations really weren't designed to protect children. They were set 17 years ago when very, very few children were using cell phones and fewer than 1 in 7 adults was using cell phones at that time. And they're based on this 200-plus pound male with an 11-pound head. Is how they test these cell phones in a simulated setting. So things are really getting out of control with wireless bras and wireless forks and wireless diapers. And
it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
It really
is. Like everything wireless is great. Well, you can access the internet, but you don't need to be wireless. The old days, we would wire a school. I remember doing that in my kids' school.
Yeah.
So they could have internet access in the school. That is a far safer way to get access to the internet. And kids shouldn't be carrying these cell phones around in their pockets, turned on all day, or sleeping with them under their pillows. They're putting themselves at risk of a variety of illnesses. But there's been a massive diffusion of responsibility. In fact, recently, the cities of Boston and Philadelphia submitted a document to the FCC in which they basically accused the federal government of negligence. As they called it, a pass-the-buck attitude, quote-unquote.
Right.
Because these health agencies really have not provided the oversight that's necessary. The regulations that were adopted 17 years ago in 1996 only protect us from being overheated by short-term exposures to cell phone radiation.
Wow.
And they were based on a very large adult male with a very large head. They do not protect us against what are called subthermal or non-thermal effects from low-intensity radiation. And yet we have hundreds of biologic studies showing that these low-intensity exposures do indeed create biologic activity. And we also have human evidence that a short-term exposure to a cell phone increases glucose metabolism, how rapidly your brain consumes energy. It also influences brain activity.
You know, it's one thing to have the lower quality data, and then it's another to, as I've heard you say, you know, have the fox in charge of the hen house, which seems to be the case. Why is this? Please explain what the implications are in terms of, you know, why it is that industry has this relationship with government and how they're interrelated in terms of suppressing the real data and perpetuating the growth of the use of these devices.
In large part, it's because industry has all the money and they basically fund politicians to keep them in office,
mm-hmm.
politicians who support their needs. So there's this concentration of power that basically the rich people who run these corporations can determine who runs the legislature. They determine who gets into the White House to a large extent. They manipulate the public and the way people vote, spending lots of money on advertising. This quid pro quo with the regulatory agencies,
right.
That if you favor us while you're in power, we will take care of you when you get out of power. And this has been going on throughout the history of our country. There needs to be some rules about the ability of policymakers and legislators and regulators to restrict their ability to go directly into industries that they controlled or helped while they were in office.
Mm-hmm. So there's that side, the underlying political corruption. But then there's also, you know, for every sale, there's tax dollars involved in that.
Yeah, and the industry estimates the government is getting about $30 billion a year, not all the federal government, it's also state and local government. So for every $6 you spend on your cell phone bill, $1 is going to the government, and that amounts to about $30 billion a year. So the government is definitely benefiting by being very permissive with regard to these technologies.
Absolutely.
And then it's not doing anything, it's not spending any money on educating the public, on funding the research, on regulating the industry to protect the public when it's reaping all these profits, basically, off of this industry.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Moskowitz, now you and I discussed this a little bit before the interview, but you've got the government's involvement, the big dollar companies who are reaping an ample harvest, you might say, off of the latest and greatest technologies. But then there's also the users, and there is a user responsibility. Now, given all of this information that we've discussed so far, do you really think, by and large, this information is going to stop anybody or slow them down at the checkout lines this Christmas?
No, I don't. And that's based upon working in public health for over 30 years. It's very, very difficult. I think few of your listeners will pay heed to this message and take more precaution. And I can go into some of the things that they can do to reduce the risk.
Great.
But by and large, people do not respond to health warnings very readily.
Yeah.
One young woman who works within our school, who's very much into health and so forth, she asked me to send her more information. She seemed very concerned about the cell phone radiation issue. And so I followed up a few weeks later and said, well, did it affect the way you use your cell phone? She said, well, for about a week, and then I sort of reverted to my old ways. I'm just too dependent on my cell phone.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I have these habits of the way I use it, and it's just really hard to change my behavior. They're going to have to make safer cell phones, but the industry doesn't want to hear that right now, and I don't think they will do that unless the government requires them to do that.
That brings us to the conclusion of the first part of a two-part interview with Dr. Joel Moskowitz, director at the Center for Family and Community Health for the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. Next week, we'll continue this thought-provoking discussion with more regarding the health risks associated with the use of cell phones and other popular electromagnetic-emitting technological devices. In the meantime, if you're interested in learning more, go online to www.saferemr.com. That's www.saferemr.com for many helpful links to news releases and not often reported resources about this subject. Thank you for tuning into this week's program, and we hope you'll join us again next week. God bless you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Friends and Neighbors. If you'd like more information about any of the content of this program, or if you'd like to share your community outreach, please contact us at toll-free 866-303-9457 or email info@calvaryradionetwork.com. In addition, you can check out our website at www.calvaryradionetwork.com. Tune in again next week for another edition of Friends and Neighbors.